This episode is brought to you by Windrose Recovery, a family of premier addiction treatment programs in southeastern Wisconsin. Privately owned, Windrose Recovery offers a full continuum of personalized care for those struggling with addiction, including the Manor for residential treatment, Midwest Detox for inpatient detoxification, and Windrose Counseling for outpatient treatment. With highly personalized treatment focused on trauma, Dr. Chantel Thomas and her expert team offer an authentic experience, creating the kind of deep emotional change that's crucial for long-term recovery. If you or someone you love is struggling with addiction, call Windrose Recovery at 414-409-5300. You can learn more about Windrose Recovery by clicking the link in the show notes or by visiting windroserecovery.com. Thank you for listening to The Path to Authenticity. My name's Tom Gentry. I think of the show as the opposite of small talk. You'll hear real conversations with real people who know who they are. We talk about what makes them who they are, how they became who they are, and how we might become truer expressions of who we are. Path to Authenticity proudly supports the I Speak Media Foundation, advancing media literacy education through an evolving series of outreach programs within the communities that need it most. For more information, visit ispeakmedia.org. If this is your first time here, thanks for checking it out. If not, thanks for coming back. I'm Tom Gentry, and this is The Path to Authenticity. This is a bonus episode for September 17th, 2021. One of the things I've been doing to promote the podcast is a daily room on Clubhouse at noon Eastern, Monday through Friday. In it, I use the questionnaire that I devised for all the guests of the show. If you've looked at the blog, you've seen a lot of the posts. But I ask those questions of someone on Clubhouse. And I figured it's a good way to get to know someone a little bit on that app. Maybe bring people in from the various different communities where I involve myself throughout the week. And it's been a lot of fun. One of the things that's come up a number of different times is people telling me, I want to ask you these questions, Tom. And so today, I had a guest scheduled who couldn't make it. And rather than canceling, I sat in the hot seat and let somebody ask me the 20 questions. So that's what you're about to hear. Maybe a chance to get to know me a little bit better, a little different perspective on the host of this podcast. And please tune in on Clubhouse. I'll leave a link in the show notes. Like I said, I'm trying to do a show Monday through Friday at noon Eastern. So here you go. 20 questions.
Today. His scheduled speaker had another conflict, so we are going to interview Tom today.
This is, I feel pretty courageous about this, honestly. This could go, a lot could happen here.
I'm excited.
Good.
And I'm privileged that you're allowing me to do it.
Well, you're the one who has shown interest, so I figured that would be a nice thing to do, right?
I just think it's kind of cool that the interviewer gets interviewed. I think that at some point in your career, it's kind of important that your viewers know who you are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've done a lot of podcast interviews in the last few months, and some of them have come out, but not all of them have. So it's out there, you know?
Yeah.
You can find it.
These 20 questions of you are out there?
Well, they are actually, yeah. They're, I told you, you know, this was originally a blog post.
Right.
So I actually did it, a couple different ways. I answered them myself, and then I did it as, in character of my dog too.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. On my blog. But, it's, I'm ready when you are, Kim. You just say the word.
Let's start. What is the day and the month of your birth?
Okay, well, that part is not one of the official questions, but it's February 21st.
Okay.
Which makes me a Pisces.
Do you follow that? Do you read your horoscope and stuff?
No, but I have enough people in my life who are into astrology that it's kind of hard to avoid it, you know?
Yeah, but do you kind of believe in that plane, or do you just kind of like go along with it?
I believe that we know less than we could possibly imagine. And that there's got to be something to it. I mean, the personality traits are do fit to some degree. I mean, I am a Pisces for sure.
How about your, okay, I'm going to ask the questions because I can keep on that for a while.
Okay.
If you were a novel, what would be the title?
The title would be Carrying the Fire.
Why would it be Carrying the Fire? That's interesting.
So there is a novelist named Cormac McCarthy who wrote a Pulitzer Prize winning novel called The Road. And if you read that, you'll understand why. But essentially it's and I'm not like a post-apocalyptic guy, you know, which is what it is. It's a novel about a father and a son who are going through life, trying to survive, post-apocalypse. And there's an expression, you can imagine what they have to do to survive in circumstances like that, where there's no food, no warmth. I mean, they're, you know, everything is going haywire. And there's an expression that they use with each other just to affirm that, you know, we're committed to being good human beings, and that's, we're the good guys. We carry the fire. So carrying the fire.
Love that. That is really cool.
Thank you.
It sounds like it's a good book too.
It's an incredible book.
Yeah. My husband's a big book reader, so I'm going to recommend it to him. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Where were you born? And I think I heard part of it. So where were you born?
I was born in Kokomo, Indiana.
Tell me about Kokomo.
Kokomo, it calls itself the City of Firsts. Some people describe it as sort of a miniature Detroit. Lots of automotive stuff. And there's dispute about this, but I think it's fair to say that the first automobile was built there, just not the first mass-produced automobile.
Got it. Okay. Cool. Yeah. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the place you call home?
I live in West Palm Beach, Florida, which honestly has never quite felt like home, although I've been here for a really long time, so I'm still figuring that out.
So you consider Kokomo then, where you feel most comfortable? Okay.
No, but I have a 15-year-old son, and he's here for at least the next couple years. So this is home for now.
So where would you call home then?
Well, this is what I would call home for now, but I don't know. I'm open to what will really feel like home and what's going to be home next.
I understand that. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cool. When you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A baseball player.
Oh. And what held you back?
What held me back? What held me back? Well, really, I gave up. And that was, I had a sixth grade teacher who I really looked up to. And, so the, you know, the whole class, we all really loved him unless, you know, he was really, he showed a lot of favoritism. And if you were part of that group, you loved him. And if you weren't, you hated him. And I was part of the group. And, and he was talking to us one day. He was the kind of teacher who would give you homework and then I would never do it. And then I'd always get an A or an A plus, just, you know, it was ridiculous. And, but he was talking to us all one day about what we were going to be when we grew up. And I told him I was going to be a baseball player, which, you know, I was really pretty obsessive about it as a kid and very competitive and worked really hard. And he was just like, I don't know, you know, and he had never seen me play or anything.
Wow.
And I said, no, you don't understand. Like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to work as hard as I have to. And he said, it's one in a million. And I said, yeah, well, I'm going to be the one. And he's just like, I don't know. And it stuck in my head. And eventually it just made it easier for me to just give up. And I tried not to let it affect me, but it was kind of hard to avoid it. So I lasted a few more years after that and actually got better and better as years went by. But if I had one thing to do over in life, I would have played every single pitch of baseball that I possibly could and would have never stopped unless I absolutely had to. I love it more than anything.
That's interesting. That's very cool.
Yeah.
What is your profession now?
Oh man, I never quite know what to say about this. Most of the time I say I'm a substance abuse counselor. I'm trained that way and internationally certified. I'm also trained as a recovery coach. And at this point in my life, most of the work that I do in that realm is with men who are in later stages of recovery to help them in relationships.
Very good. Very good. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt? And I would have asked you this question after that anyway. So this is good. I like this follow-up question.
What profession other than my own would I like to attempt? Well, I write too. And at some point there's going to be a book. I'm just not sure exactly what it is yet, but I write all the time. And I think here's the real answer is if I had it to do over again, I would have pursued theater as a kid.
Oh,
and
wow.
'Cause I think actually that's something that I could be an actor. I think I could do that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
On the theater side of it, who is your favorite actor? Who did you aspire to be?
Well, I've never really aspired to be, you know, I never really thought of it. That's what's funny. I never really thought of it, but I just feel like I could do it. You know, I think if I was going to do that, I would aspire to be me, you know, not be somebody else.
I love that answer. What's your favorite quote?
Courage. It's Mark Twain. It's one of my favorite quotes is courage. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the resistance to fear. It's the mastery of fear.
I love that. I think I've heard you say it before. What is your preferred form of creative expression?
Writing. And this, and this.
Yeah, this makes sense. Yeah. Other than this, what would you say outside of this little scope of writing and podcasting? Like, when you step into the real world, what's your creative expression? What do you do?
When I step into the real world, if I take these things away?
Yeah, if you take it away and you step outside your house.
I'm an idea person, and I'm really good at connecting people and connecting ideas and like putting the pieces of the puzzle together. So I think it's fair to say that people admire me for that trait.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. What is your favorite movie, song, and work of art?
My favorite movie, the standard answer for me is The Godfather. Maybe part two, one or two. My favorite songs, I have a lot of favorite songs, but there's a song that's called She's a Jar by a band called Wilco, which just when I first heard it, just kind of hooked me into their work.
Yeah.
And then listening to them has just opened up a whole other world of music that I have dived into over the years. That, you know, how you hear one song and it's something different than you've ever heard, and then it leads you down a whole other path.
Oh yeah.
That's what it did. So yeah, that one.
Now I have to go find that song. You know that.
Yeah. It's kind of trippy. It's very sort of whimsical, looping kind of harmonica and very poetic lyrics with strong imagery.
Cool.
Yeah. Work of art is, what's it called? Well, there are a couple of them that come to mind, and one of them is a Winslow Homer painting that's called Breezing Up. He painted seascapes.
Right.
And it's four males, like an older man and three boys. And, you know, in my family, there are three sons. So I can kind of identify it and identify which of them I am. So go check it out and tell me which one I am, Ken.
Okay.
And then there's another one. There's a painting by Rene Magritte that I really like that's at the Art Institute of Chicago that I'm drawing a blank on the name now, but it's a painting of a sunset, and the sun is bright red.
Very cool. How you doing, Tommy? Hanging in there?
I'm good.
Okay.
I don't know. You tell me. How am I doing, Kim?
You're doing great.
Okay.
So who do you admire most?
Probably at this point in life, my mom, who is 91. Aww. And I did a podcast episode with her a while back and sort of did the calculation in my mind with her as we're talking through it that, I mean, I'm the youngest of eight kids, and she had a ninth who, you know, like probably 20 years before me, who died when he was 13 days old. And so she had nine children and spent 40 years of her life raising kids. Yeah. So that's, and just to have the disposition that she has, the, you know, sense of happiness that she has, and she's a very powerful woman, you know? So yeah, my mom, she'd be very, very happy to hear me say that.
I was just going to say, she would be thrilled to hear that. I know most moms would.
Yeah.
So that's really sweet. Over the course of your life, what is an issue with which you have repeatedly struggled?
Well, I'm going to speak in somewhat generalities here, but I will say the illusion of scarcity, whether it relates to love, like partners, or money, abundance, you know, just the idea that there isn't enough or there might not be enough, and the fear that comes with that, and how it has, it's just been something that I've really had to work through and I'm improving upon, but, you know, doesn't just go away. It's, you know, the way I was raised, you know?
I find that in a lot of men, heterosexual men, that is a lot of what they struggle with, the illusion of scarcity. So thank you for admitting that. That's interesting. In childhood, who was your celebrity crush? This is interesting.
Childhood. I don't know. It's funny. Now I'm thinking about how I ask everybody these questions every day, and now I can't answer them. I don't know. You know, I grew up with Charlie's Angels.
Oh, yeah.
It was a brunette. It would have been a brunette for sure. I will say that. Is that a good enough answer?
So was it the smart one or the cute one? Come on.
It's always, well, I mean, it's both. It's both.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's fair never enough. One or the other. It has to be fair both. Enough.
Very cool. Okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
What historical figure would you most like to meet?
I don't know. If it was an American, it probably would be Abraham Lincoln. Just because when you really look at what he went through in his life and his presidency, I mean, the Civil War was the most harrowing time in this country. And, you know, if it wasn't for him, this would probably be two countries.
Mm-hmm.
And just not only the fact that he managed all that, but had a wife with severe depression, lost more than one child. You know, he lost a son while he was right in the White House, who was like 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, he just went through a lot of different stuff. And then the fact that he's from my part of the country doesn't hurt anything either.
So would you say he was your favorite and the best president?
I would say there's no question that he was the best president. And yeah. Yeah. Without question.
Very cool. What natural gift or ability would you most likely to possess?
I don't know. I would love to be a musician. It would be great to be able to play music by ear and to sing.
I have to second that. I can't sing. I love
music. It would definitely be something creative.
Yeah. Well, you are creative, though. You write. I think that's creative right there.
Well, I do, too. But, you know, I mean, I don't, you know, it would be something artistic, I should say.
Yeah.
Okay. Which, not that writing isn't, but, you know.
A different type of artist.
Yes. Right.
I get it. No, I feel the same way. Like when I pick up my guitar and I can't play the notes, it's like I put it back down for a month. I get it. What do you consider your greatest achievement?
Well, I have a 15-year-old son who is extraordinarily happy and has great self-esteem and looks at my dysfunctional family of origin as if they're just completely bizarre. And I'm pretty proud of that.
Sounds like you raised him well.
Well, that's, you know, I feel like I can take an appropriate amount of credit for that. I know that the other part of it I'll say is that somebody told me when his mom was pregnant, there was a guy who I was working with every day. I was on the phone with him 10 times a day, and he was 30 years older than me and had grown kids by that time. And he said, just enjoy it.
Yes.
And it just gave me the presence of mind to, you know, just be with him. So much of the time, like all the time we've been together, at least once every day, I would just stop and look at him and look at what a beautiful human being he is and fucking pinch myself, you know? So, yeah. Yeah, I'm really proud of him.
It sounds like he might be proud of you too.
Yeah, yeah, he's grappling with that right now, to be perfectly honest, but he's at that age, so I don't take it personally, you know? He knows how much I love him. That's what matters to me.
Very good. Yeah, that's huge. 15 is difficult. Boys, girls, I have two daughters, so yeah. Not easy. Yeah. Not an easy age. What quality do you admire most in a person?
Kindness.
Tell me more.
I just think that it's lacking. And I guess what I'll say is that I made a conscious decision a few years ago that I was, you know, no matter whether people say hello back or whether they make eye contact or whatever, I'm going to live in a world where I'm coming from a place of kindness and love. Whether other people, whether that's what they want to do or not, I'm going to do it. And it has enhanced the quality of my life in a major way.
Do you ever struggle with that with strangers that you encounter?
Not with strangers. Not unless I see them being intolerant or if you know, you can just tell body language, facial expressions, if there's hatred in someone, and that I have a hard time with.
I have to agree there. Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good.
Okay. I'm just checking.
No, I'm good.
What is something you would like to learn about?
Well, I'm a history guy. So, I mean, usually most of the television I watch is documentaries and even there's an app on Amazon Prime called The Great Courses. And which they'll have 40 lectures about Mesoamerica or the Mongol Empire or, you know, I just like to learn. Something specific that I'd like to learn more about. At this point, it would be really useful to know more about sound engineering because I'm recording this right now. It's to get the quality of the sound that I want takes a lot of work and a lot of time, really, because I'm self-taught and I don't know what I'm doing. So that Excellent. Would be helpful.
I'm going to circle back to history. I'm going to ask you a question that's not on your 20 questions.
Okay.
If you had a chance to go back in history, where would you go and who would it be with?
Where would I go and who would it be with? I've never really thought about this too much, but honestly, like if I could follow Mark Twain around, he'd just keep me laughing the whole time. And he traveled the world and wrote a lot of commentary on culture and, was very outspoken about politics and, just the idea that he wrote a story like Huck Finn when he wrote it and what it means, what it meant to the world, what it still does. He was a man before his time, but also very much fit in his time and knew how to make people laugh. And still, when I read his work, some of his short stories, I mean, literally the day I got sober, I bought a book of Mark Twain's short stories in the Atlanta airport when I was on my way to rehab and laughed out loud on the plane.
That's awesome.
I mean, and there's a story called Extracts from Adam's Diary, where he's, you know, writing it in character as if he's Adam in the Garden of Eden, and it's hilarious. It's just so cool. Timelessly funny.
Did not even know that, and yeah. That's really cool. I thought for sure you were going to say Abe Lincoln, and you totally threw me off with Mark Twain, so that is awesome.
Yeah, no, I mean, he was a very interesting guy, and, you know, one of the things he said is, I am not an American, I am the American. And I think that's how the world looked at him. And he did something for American literature that had never been done before. I mean, he made it a thing where before it really wasn't.
I agree with you. Yeah. What do you wish more people knew about you, Tom?
Man, this like, I feel like, why do I ask people these difficult questions? What do I wish more people knew about me? I really care. I guess if that doesn't come across clearly, I care about people. I love people. I'm sincere. I try to live from my heart. I believe in people, to the point of naivete, probably at times, where like when somebody tells me that somebody said something bad about me behind my back, it kind of breaks my heart just because I don't think that way of people. I always think the best of people.
I understand that completely. And let me tell you, when you said you really care and that you're genuine about that, I can tell you that I think everyone that's ever come in contact with you knows how genuine you are. You were the first person to reach out to me, and I thank you. And that's why I wanted to do these 20 questions with you. So thank you for allowing me.
You're welcome.
What is your idea of success?
So this one's pretty easy for me. There's a Bob Dylan quote. A man is a success if he gets up in the morning and he goes to bed at night, and in between he does what he wants to do. So that's my idea of success.
That's awesome. So you're kind of in your zone right now. You're living the Bob Dylan quote. Would you say that about yourself?
Close. I'm definitely closer to it than I've ever been. I mean, there are some milestones that I need to reach, and you know, I need to some things I need to accomplish to have the sort of freedom that I really want to do whatever I want, wherever I want, whenever I want, however I want.
Well, you cut out there for a moment. I don't know if you got a phone call, but you cut out there for a
moment. No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't get a phone call. It sounded like you cut out. So what did you... I can't ask you what you missed, but what I was saying is that for the most part, yes, that's what my life is like. Time-wise, I can structure my own time, but to be able to do what I want, where I want, when I want, how I want, all, you know, it's to fill in the details. I need to get some things done. I need to make more money. I need to, you know, I need to, there's some things I need to accomplish, and it's all happening. You know, the good thing is like, I am happy. I'm happier than I've ever been in my entire life. So yeah.
What do you wish more? Oh, sorry. I just asked you that question. My husband came home, and I'm trying to keep the dog from barking, so I'm stepping outside. What is your idea of success?
No, I just answered that one.
You just answered that one too. Sorry. I had to walk outside. We're on the last question, Tom.
I know.
Okay. What would you like people to say about you when you're gone?
That I made a difference in their lives, that their lives were better because I was in it.
Do you feel you've gotten to that milestone yet? Do you feel that already?
Yeah. I mean, I know that there are people who's, I mean, not that I accept responsibility for it, but that I made a difference, you know? I think about, there's one guy who I think about, and I mentioned him when I told my story a couple weeks ago. He's this kid who I had, who I worked with at this facility, and he's the one who, when somebody said they weren't sure if God existed, who said, "Have you seen girls? Like, what are you talking about? How could there not be a God?" Right? You know, this was a kid who was completely lost, and from the Carolinas, and cynical, and just strung out, and now he has been sober like 5 years. He's a dad and just has the greatest personality and is so full of love. And, you know, he's part of this bunch of guys that one of them asked me to speak at a meeting a couple years ago, and I did. And so a bunch of them chimed in afterwards. And one of the things that he reminded me was that there were times when I just looked at him and said, "You're a good man." And nobody, you know, and he is, and he was, but he needed to hear it. I knew he needed to hear it. And, you know, it's like I had the opportunity to speak that into him. And then he went and did it, you know? And again, not like it's I did it or anything like that. I mean, really, I believe it's God working through me. And I really take that seriously. I do. But, you know, to see, there's another kid who I had who was, he was really on the outs with his dad. He had relapsed a bunch of times. His dad had put him through treatment, and he was just like done. The kid had disappeared for a couple years and finally turned up and asked for help. And if it wasn't for his mom, he wouldn't have gotten it because his dad was done. And what I knew is that he had gone through some stuff that if his parents understood what he had been through, there's no way they would have judged him. But, and it wasn't my place to tell them. It was tender enough that it was something he was going to need time to heal himself and then to be able to eventually tell them. But we had this conversation, which, you know, I like really didn't even remember until he reminded me a year later. But we were talking about how he tells his dad he loves him and his dad doesn't say, "I love you too." And I just told him, "Listen, you're telling him you love him not for the response. You're telling him you love him because you love him. So don't put expectations on him. Let it be what it is. Try not to get caught up in how he responds, and just you do your part and the rest will work itself out." And a year later, he texted me that, you know, "I did what you said. And now he tells me he loves me." That's like, what's better than that? You know, what could be better than like being able to be that kind of force in someone's life? I can't imagine. So yeah, I'm going to shut up now.
Well, before you turn your recording off, there's people in the audience and on the stage that you have touched with your words, with your back channel, with your Path to Authenticity podcasts. If anybody would like to come up and just say a word, Tom, maybe you can bring them up. And
oh yeah, I didn't mod you.
You didn't. That's okay though. It's your room. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay with me. I mean, we're already here. I'm almost in fucking tears. We might as well keep going.
We love you, Tom.
I love you all too.
You made a difference for a lot of, I mean, for me personally, you've made a difference for me. You know that.
Yeah.
When my husband and I didn't know what to do, you gave us your phone number. You didn't know me from anybody. You reached out. You said, call me. And you don't know how much that meant to me. Like, you were a total stranger and you were willing to talk to us. And that's huge. That's huge. And now, you know, when you said to me, if you know anybody else who needs help, give them my name, my phone number. Not many people would do that. Okay. They have enough going on in their life. And especially now with the pandemic, people are very overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So personally, I appreciate you a lot. I'm grateful I found you on Clubhouse, and I hope that it doesn't ever go away.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that come back. I keep coming back.
Yeah. Well, thank you for saying all that. I made you a moderator so I can just relax, not worry about it. So you moderate.
Oh, I'm moderating now?
Mm-hmm.
Is there anybody else that would like to speak or ask Tom a question?
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Megan.
Well, I'll just say I am so glad I got to be here for the 20 questions today. Similar to Kim, you did such a wonderful job asking the questions and kind of felt like we were all in on the conversation. And as someone who's gotten to know Tom through Clubhouse, and I got to do the questions, I think the second time Tom has ever asked them, I was just so excited to get to know Tom a little bit better, because even though we've known each other through Clubhouse, Tom's someone who always opens up very authentically, very vulnerable. And so you feel like you know someone, even though we haven't met. And these questions just went a little bit deeper. The quotes and your sincerity, it feels relaxing. So it's a way to kind of connect on a deeper level. And I feel there's healing taking place, whether it's through the sobriety journey or just your quotes. You're talking about scarcity and, you know, some of the things that have almost kind of been programmed into us. I feel like we're getting a chance to move through those. Tom, what was the name of the book where you got the Carrying the Fire from?
It's The Road. There's okay, a movie too. It's not as good.
To read.
There's a movie with Viggo Mortensen and Charlize Theron, who is only in it for a couple minutes, but it's not nearly as good. And it's a pretty quick read.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great book.
Well, I'm glad you're here on Clubhouse, Tom. I always feel like I'm kind of a light, but you know, I like that idea too of carrying the fire and kind of burning and keeping it going for people who are navigating challenging times. So I'm glad you're here, Tom. And thank you, Kim. And you've made an impact on my life since I've known you, Tom. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Megan, thanks for the kind words. Laura, did you want to ask Tom a question or did you have anything to say?
Yeah, thanks. Tom, I just wanted to say I enjoyed your answers. Your last answer, you know, you brought me to tears. But what I truly appreciated and loved, and I'm a firm believer that there are no coincidences, that God puts things and people in your path at a particular moment for a reason, was your response about your mother. Tomorrow is 1 year, the 1 year anniversary of my mom's passing. And it's been a really rough week, sort of like reliving all of it. And when you said your mom is 92, my mom died 2 weeks after her 90th birthday. And I think your appreciation for your mother and obviously the beautiful relationship that you have with her, but just the beautiful words that you spoke, I find it so heartwarming that there are people who truly appreciate their moms the way you do. And I will tell you, you know, if someone asked me, you know, if there was one thing, if I can have 5 minutes with anybody, or, you know, that question about history, go back in history, I have one more conversation with my mom. There's no historic figure that I would want to speak to more than her. So I think it's beautiful that you have a relationship that you truly appreciate her. And it touched me today in the midst of my sadness that, you know, made me smile. So thanks.
Good. Good. You know, it's funny though. Man, my mom is just tough as nails. And I remember being a little kid one time, going back to the baseball thing. I was, I guess, you know, going through a period of time where I wasn't hitting well and I was kind of pouting around about it. And I remember talking to her about it one night because, you know, I'd have baseball practice while they had dinner and she'd keep the food aside and sit with me when I got home and sit with me while I ate. And I was talking to her about it. And I just remember her gritting her teeth and saying, hit the ball, just like, get mad at it, you know? And I just always really appreciated that about her. I mean, she was very nurturing, but also tough as nails. So, yeah, she's very, very sweet, but man, you don't want to mess with her. Jenna.
Hi, Jenna.
Tom, I was so excited when I seen the said 20 questions for Tom. I just wanted to say I love these 20 questions. I know I told you this, Tom, but it's like a little talk show on Clubhouse, and it's just like a really good vibe. But yeah, no, Tom, I just wanted to say that you've been an inspiration since day one, and, you know, like just how you reach out, and I just wanted to say how much I value your input all the time, and I just want to thank you for always being there for me. So yeah, that's it. I'm happy I was here to hear some of the questions.
Me too. Thanks for coming, Jenna.
Okay, Tom, you ready for my question?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
What am I going to say? What? Oh, I'm not going to answer this one?
You're going to love my questions.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh. Can't hear you, Kim.
Can you hear me?
Now we can, yeah.
Okay. What's your favorite ice cream?
You know what? I think vanilla gets a really bad rap. I'll say that. Like people talk about vanilla as if it's not, as if it's just bland. They'd use those words interchangeably. And I think vanilla is a great flavor. Also like dulce de leche. That's yeah.
Okay. Beach or mountains and why?
Probably at this point, honestly, I mean, both. If I had California, man, I would probably, if I had it to do over again, I would have gone to California instead of coming to Florida. I can look out at the ocean here, but to be able to turn around and see the mountains or go up into the mountains and just layers of views of the ocean, it's pretty incredible.
If you had your choice and there was no pandemic, where would you visit? What country would you visit and why?
Well, there are a couple different places that come to mind.
Okay.
I'm going to say this. If I, I'd like to go to Bodh Gaya in India. You know, I'd like to go to, follow the Buddha's footsteps and see the Bodhi tree and all that stuff.
Yes.
Or I might go to London to see a girl. Never know.
Very cool. I like it.
I was waiting for that.
I know you were.
Jenna, Laura, Megan, if you have a question for Tom that you would like to ask, I would love to hear your questions because I have a ton of them. So jump in at any time. So I don't even think we asked, what is your favorite color and why?
Probably blue. You know, I have blue eyes. I have my mom's blue eyes. My son has our blue eyes. And I got into the habit of wearing blue a lot. And now anytime I go to shop for clothes, I'll look at what I'm carrying around and it'll be like five different blue things. And for a long time, I would make myself go back and get different colors. But I've just kind of given up on that and just decided, what the hell? You know, I'm going to wear blue. I like gray, you know, but blue.
Most people kind of have a go-to. When something goes wrong, when you need some time to think, what's your go-to? What's your typical like thing to do?
So are we talking about a person? Are we talking about when you say
whatever
a go-to?
Whatever you want to talk about. Tell me about what's one of your go-tos when something's up? And why?
Well, when I was younger and my dad was still alive, it was my dad a lot of times, especially if it was professional, just because I respected him and his point of view and just got a lot from him in terms of work ethic and professionalism, and just kind of we aligned and I trusted him. I have a few guys who I could, you know, count as best friends. I have, two of them I've spoken to already today. You know, I have a guy who, he hired me back in 2010, and I knew of him, but I didn't know him before then, but he's one of those people who, and I don't know if Brian's in the room, but Brian knows him. It's a guy named Frank Miller, and he's one of those people that he just makes you feel special. Everybody who makes you feel like you're the only person in the room, the only person that matters. And he taught me a little bit about how to be that way with people.
I love that. Yeah. It's good to have somebody like that in your life. Yeah.
And then I have, you know, my nephew, Mike, who is, because of our crazy family, he's my nephew, but he's a month older than I am. And I'm going to be the best man in his wedding next month, which is a second chance at that for me when I didn't get to do that the last time there was an opportunity, but this is, so I'm looking forward to doing it and making it count.
Awesome.
But he's my best friend in the world. You know, I just love him so much and I'm very, very happy to see that he found someone who just, you know, you see certain couples, the way that they look at each other and you can just see it. It's palpable. They're like that. And it just makes me so happy that he has someone who loves him that way.
I love that magic. I do. Mm-hmm. I really do. I know that you've given your son a lot of advice. What's the best advice, or what advice are you saving to give your son that was the best advice was ever given to you?
I don't know that any of the advice that was given to me is stuff that I would want to pass down to him. Aside from, my parents really taught me to stand up for what was right and to not shrink from that. And I appreciate that about them very much. But he has a conscience, you know, I probably have something to do with that. I like that. One of the things that comes to mind is that I said to him at one point, when we were talking about, I don't know how we got on it, but the idea of whether something cool or not is cool or not. The words I said to him were, listen, here's the attitude. If you do it, it's cool. Like, and he's really that kid. Like, he just kind of goes through life with, and he's got this magnetism that just amazes me. Aww. You know? So
it doesn't amaze me. You're his father, so it doesn't amaze
me
at all.
But I don't have that. I don't have that. I mean,
okay.
I mean, it's just like he's an actor, and there was, I remember like one of the first shows he was in, he was the Beast in Beauty and the Beast. And to see this 11-year-old kid on stage in a room full of people, and he'd only been in a couple different shows, to roar at the top of his lungs. Like, it takes guts to do it stuff does. Like that. And yeah. and it just made me so proud to watch him just freaking go for it, you know, and put everything out there. So
I love it.
Yeah.
So last question for me. I know you've talked about your life and your battles, your struggles. What would you say was the hardest for you? The hardest, and this will be the last one. And hopefully I won't make you cry again.
Well, you know, being the youngest of eight kids, I saw a lot of divorce as a kid, and it broke my heart. And I promised myself that I would never put a kid through that. And then I did. And that was the hardest thing.
Have you recovered from that? Are you okay with yourself now?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know my sort of bargain that I made with myself during the process was that I want to be able to say, when he looks at me when he's 20, 25 years old and says, "What the fuck?" to be able to say to him, "I did everything I possibly could for that marriage." And I can honestly say that. And by the time I walked away, I knew without question it was the right thing to do, not only for me, but for him. But it doesn't mean it didn't break his heart.
Oh, of course.
And that breaks my heart.
Right. Right. Well, I'm going to open it up again to the floor. More people came in. We're doing questions for Tom, which is probably, we're at, I think, about 30-some at this point. If you have something you'd like to add, Tom's recording this. If you'd like to say something about what he's done for you since you've met him, or if you have a question you'd like to, including maybe like what color are your favorite socks to wear? I'm sure he's open to it. And I'm gonna pause on the mic for a moment.
I guess I'll ask Tom, what music or record were you playing when the room started, or what's like a go-to record to put on for you right now lately?
You know, lately I've been listening to a lot of funky stuff. There's a lot of sort of blue-eyed soul stuff that's newer now. I think what I was playing when the room opened was, there's this guy named Aaron Fraser who's got this falsetto voice. I don't know. I've kind of gone into this blues rabbit hole a little bit. John Lee Hooker. Like I'll play a song, as we close. Here's a song. This is a total mood. It's called "In the Wee Hours" by Junior Wells, which is just, if you just close your eyes and listen to it, man, it is incredible. Does that answer your question? I like all kinds of music. I really do.
Yeah, and I'm excited about that. And I think music right now, that's like a whole mood in itself that kind of transport you, or like, you know, when you said close your eyes and listen to it, there's something priceless about that.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially right now. So thank you.
You're welcome. I think we might have milked this out long enough, Cam.
I think so. It was so great that you let me do this. And
we got Wanja here. We got to let Wanja come up. Wanja can ask a question.
Absolutely. I'm inviting her now.
Okay.
Wanja, we're doing 20 questions for Tom. Do you have a question for Tom, or would you like to say something? He is recording, just so you know.
Ooh. Yeah, Wanja, you got a question? What do you got? I really wish Roger would come up here, because I want to hear what Roger has to say, just because he fucking cracks me up.
I just came in, so I'm going to warm up first, Tom.
Okay.
You don't want the questions in my head, so I'm gonna relax for a second.
Okay, well, we were just about to shut it down until I saw you come in. I thought I saw you raise your hand, but maybe I just saw you come in.
Yes, I didn't know you were about to shut down. I didn't know it was at noon. Okay, so maybe this question was asked. Tom, are you today, in the last 24 hours, have you felt joy and how?
You know, I feel a lot of joy with my dog. I do this thing. I was telling somebody else about this recently. One of my little idiosyncrasies is that I talk shit to my dog all the time and like call him names and just, you know, talk shit to him, and he'll start barking at me and we'll start play fighting and stuff like that. And usually that's always good for instant joy, you know? I felt joy earlier today. I was telling the listeners before, I'm going to be the best man in my best friend's wedding in a couple weeks. And I booked the flight for that today. And it's in Nashville, which is one of my favorite places. And I have a lot of people I love there who I'm going to get to see. So I'm looking, that gave me joy for sure. Great question, Wanja. Can always count on you.
That was a great question. Well, Tom, I think that this has been a great hour.
Yeah, well, thank you.
Thank you for asking. This has been great. I really wanted to ask you the questions. I really wanted to know the answers. And
I know you did, and I knew I couldn't keep saying no to you forever. Sooner or later, it was going to come around that if I was going to keep asking these questions to people, that sooner or later I needed to answer them myself. So
the truth told, I had no idea you wanted to be a baseball player as a kid. I think that is so awesome. I love that.
Yeah. You know, it, my childhood was, I mean, it wasn't as bad as a lot of people's who I know, but it was fucking crazy. Like there's a lot of drinking. I mean, it was, and there was just a lot of chaos, a lot of gossip, a lot of negativity. Then it was also, it's a very Catholic family. And my mom and dad stopped going to church when I was like 3. So, and then all the rest of the family still kept going. So there was all this turmoil around that. But I had baseball. And it was like the one thing that was mine. And it's, I really felt like I belonged there and I was good at it. And like, it didn't have anything to do with anything in my family. I could just go there and completely immerse myself in it and, you know, just had some of the happiest moments of my life that way.
I'm pissed off that a teacher would not push you to do it and would say, I don't think it's a good idea. That kind of is disturbing for me, you know, personally.
Yeah. Well, it's taught me a lot. It pissed me off too. And it still does. But, it, you know, I feel like whether or not he was right, what I didn't have the wisdom to know then is if I had tried, if I hadn't quit and I kept trying, I may not have ever played even minor league baseball, but I may have coached, or I'd have been happy being a freaking groundskeeper. You know, I mean, I just love it so much.
Right.
That it wouldn't have even mattered to me, you know, as long as I could live my life that way. But, you know, I mean, it's not like I really have huge regrets about that, but it's informative because now working with young adults, I can say to them, you know, you don't know where this will take you. You have to try. And even if you don't reach the stars, you'll get the moon.
So maybe that was your lesson.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool. Wanja, have you come up with a question? Another question?
Oh, my. I thought you guys were closing.
We are closing. We are closing.
fading.
Yeah, Kim's milking it. So
I am, because you're just like full of information that, and you keep it all to yourself. So
yeah, well, someday there will be a book.
I'm waiting for the book.
Yeah. Yeah, there will be a book. That's why I started a podcast in the first place, to build. That was the idea, to build a following, to get a book published, and then it took on a life of its own and became the primary thing. So, yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that your interviewer had a conflict, but I'm grateful that she did, because this was awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, it's all good. I'm going to play some music now. Thank you guys for being here and for all the love. I appreciate it. Junior Wells.
We love you, Tom.
Love you, too.
Thank you so much.
Yep. Thank you.
Ooh-wee.
Player.
The Path to Authenticity is powered by Equivox. For digital marketing and web design services, visit equivox.com.